Okay, good evening, everybody. I am excited to be able to bring another lesson, and I'm thankful for Cliff for doing Bible Hour tonight and all his helpers that he has in there for helping those kids have a time where they can learn on a different level than we are in here. So what I'm doing is answering a question tonight. I want to encourage you, if you have a question about the Bible or religious matters that you would like to have answered, please, we have a box out there to be able for you to put questions in, and we will try to answer that to the best of our ability. If you have another type of question that you are like, hey, I don't really need to have it answered in a sermon, and you just want to know, email me or however you want to get in contact with me. I would love to be able to help you answer any questions that you may have. And so tonight we're going to be answering a question that I have had, and I know other people have had in the past, because it's out in the world today, and you may have heard this, you may have asked this same question. And the question is what happens to those who don't hear the gospel, okay? Who don't hear the gospel message. Now, two scenarios come to mind, and usually when someone asks this question, these scenarios come about. They try to get you into a hypothetical situation so that you are then forced to answer this. Now, scenario number one, there is a guy on an island all by himself, and he never hears the gospel. How could a loving God send this man to hell? Okay? Scenario number two, there is a tribe in the far remote part of the Amazon rainforest, and they haven't been able to hear the gospel. How could a loving God send them to hell? Okay? Maybe you have heard that scenario proposed to you along with this question, and you thought to yourself, I don't know how to answer this. And so maybe you struggle to come up with something, or you know, there have been times where questions have been asked of Christians where they don't have an answer, and that causes them to doubt their faith, and they are struggling to understand. So I want you to know this as we start. Romans 10:14. How will they believe in him who they have not heard, right? That kind of goes along with this idea of, what about this tribe in the Amazon who hasn't heard the gospel? Or what about this man who is stuck on a remote island and he hasn't been able to hear the gospel? Because how are we able to hear about Jesus if we've never actually heard about him? Okay? Now, this is the first thing you need to do whenever this is proposed to you. Step back from the emotional argument that is being brought, okay? Notice in both of those scenarios, there was an emotional argument being made about how would a loving God send this person to hell, okay? That would get your blood pumping, right? Because we don't want to think of God in a negative light, and now someone is proposing this to us, and so it starts to make us go on attack mode, or we start to put up our huge defenses, and we're trying to do everything we possibly can. We really just need to step back and let the Bible do all the talking for us, okay? First things first, Romans 3:23. It's probably a verse you know. But notice, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, not even one. What do we know about the tribe, the Amazon tribe out in the remote part of the world? And what do we know about this man that's on this island? They have sinned, right? Because everybody has sinned. There's none righteous, not even one. Okay? Second thing we need to know as we start to try and unpack this argument, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, or but through me. Okay? So what we've learned so far is there's no one who has not sinned in this world. There is none righteous, no, not one. And the only way that someone can access the Father is through Jesus Christ. Okay? In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and there is no salvation to no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Okay? So we know that Jesus is the way to salvation, and we all need it because everybody has sinned, even those who live in the middle of nowhere. Okay?
So if everyone has sinned, and the only way to be saved is Jesus, then do I have to hear the gospel? Okay? I want you to take notice of this particular passage or these two verses. And to give relief to you, this is Paul talking to the church at Thessalonica. They were struggling with people who were afflicting them, and so he gives them this comforting message. Notice he says, and to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, watch this, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So as you go through that, you start to realize those who are going to have this vengeance or this retribution happen to them were those first who do not know God and those second who do not obey this gospel message. Why? Because there is none righteous, no, not one, and the only way to the Father is through Jesus and understanding his gospel message. So, in short, to answer this question, okay, and as you're talking with somebody and they bring this question to you and say, will this person who's never heard the gospel go to hell if they never obey it? The answer is yes, okay? And then sometimes, especially when there's an emotional argument being made, they'll say, well, that seems very unfair. And it does, right? When you start to think about it, in our minds, immediately we start to think how unfair it is for someone who doesn't hear the gospel to be sent to hell, okay? This is where we start looking at creation evidences, okay? Like the passage that Mr. Robert just read for us moments ago, notice what Paul states in Romans. And now this is concerning the Gentiles, okay? Those who were not a part of God's chosen people in the beginning, notice what's said. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have clearly been seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And so what we find Paul saying here in Romans chapter 1 is that everything, God has taken away all excuses as far as not knowing him. Okay? He's made it plainly evident to them through how he's created this world, and he's also instilled it in us. In Psalm 19:1, notice what the psalmist says here. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. We can go outside and understand that this world was created by a supernatural being. Okay? And it's evident to us that there is a God. And that's why when you go into all these different cultures and even to the most remote parts of the world, they will claim to have a deity because they're trying to explain this idea of creation and how all of this came about. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes, he has made everything appropriate in its time. This is a really cool verse, and always keep this one in your back pocket. He has also set eternity in their heart. Yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. God has set eternity in the heart of men. That's why if you're never a follower of God, there's always that void there, right? Because that void is always trying to find God. And it's always trying to be filled by God because God has set in our hearts the idea of eternity. So, look at what God has done already. He's created this world. He's put so much design in it. And no matter where someone lives, they can always know there is a God, right? And even if you live in the remote part of the Amazon rainforest, you can know there is a God because of creation, of all the different types of species that live in that particular part of the world and the beauty that's in that part of the world. Even when we drive throughout Clarksville, even though we may be sitting in traffic, we can still be looking outside of our cars and know, wow, This is a beautiful world we live in. You know, who made this world? It starts to make you ask those questions, and that was God's intent, is trying to get us to understand there is a God that created this world, and we want to know him. So, once we start asking those questions on how did this world get created, and how did all these things, we start to seek God, right? And for us to seek God, and as we even talked about this morning in this sermon, those who seek God, what's going to happen? They will find him, and he will be found by them, right? And he will find them as well. And so it takes seeking, and we need to be seekers, those who are striving to know God, those who are trying to understand how we can be obey the gospel and know Jesus, okay? Now, if we seek him, he will seek us. Notice this promise in Matthew chapter 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Why? For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks will find. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. For those who are seeking, they will find. That's the promise. For those who are trying to find truth, for those who are trying to figure it out, the promise that Jesus states in this sermon is that they will find those answers, okay? Now, I always love this passage because it helps me understand that for someone seeking, God's going to put them, put someone in their life. Notice, as the Ethiopian eunuch is traveling back from Jerusalem to go back towards Ethiopia, he's reading through a scroll and he's struggling to understand who this scroll is about. And so the Holy Spirit, God, puts Philip into this man's life to help him understand what he's reading. And so notice in verses 30 and 31, Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" In verse 31, he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And maybe you know the end of it, but Philip teaches Jesus from Isaiah 53. He teaches him Jesus and teaches him the gospel from Isaiah chapter 53. And then we see the Ethiopian eunuch passing by water and says, "What hinders me from being baptized?" He says, "Nothing," right? And so they go down into the water and Philip baptizes him and then they go on their way. He got to hear the gospel, and he was saved because notice what he was doing. He was seeking. He was trying to figure out what Isaiah 53 was talking about or who Isaiah 53 was talking about. And because of his seeking, God put somebody into his life and said, "Here you go. Help him find the truth." In Acts 11, verses 11 through 14, as Peter is trying to explain what just happened at Cornelius's household to all these Jews who are now questioning Peter because he has recently just baptized some Gentiles. Notice what happens in verses 11 through 14. He says, "And behold, at that moment, three men appeared at the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. These six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house. And he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here. And he will speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household.'" You see, Cornelius, even if you go back into Acts chapter 10, he was a devout man. He was a God-fearer, right? He was someone who seeked God. He was trying to find him. He was trying to look for him. And because of that, God placed Peter into his life. Because of that, that whole family got to hear the message about Jesus and obey the gospel. Now, I fully believe that those who are seeking will find, and God will provide the answer. And as we start to think about this and how we can do this, because you start to think about the remote parts of Amazon or all the way over in Ukraine or Russia or all these other countries, and you start thinking, how can we do that? That's why we have missions, right? There are people seeking in other countries. And it's also just so fascinating that there are churches who send missionaries to these other places. I've heard stories of missionaries coming back saying they were going from village to village, and all of a sudden they found out that there was a village up on top of this hill that nobody had even known about, and they were up there, and they would come down every now and then, and they met this man who lived in this village, and all of a sudden they realized this man had a Bible and was able to teach this village the Bible. And you start to think how God is able to do things that sometimes we can't fathom, right? If there are people seeking on the other side of the world, guess what God's going to do? He's going to send someone there. And that person's going to bring the gospel message with them. And so we always have to understand, whenever this argument is posed to us and it gets emotional, we have to understand what the Bible says, right? There is no way to the Father except through Jesus. And so, as Christians who get to live in America, we have a responsibility. Because there's a lot of people in this country who haven't heard the gospel. And so what should we do? Go teach them. Maybe you're the person that God is trying to put into someone's life to teach them the gospel, right? And so what a wonderful responsibility that we have to be able to go and reach people. And just think about this. Let's say God puts you in the life of someone and you're able to reach them with the gospel because they've been seeking for so long. And now they understand the truth. They obey his gospel message. And guess what they could do? They can go to mom and dad. They can go to brothers and sisters. They can go to other family members. And all of a sudden now all these other people who haven't heard this message are now getting to hear this message. So what a wonderful responsibility that we get to have in understanding that we need to take every opportunity possible to teach people the gospel. I hope that's been helpful to you. If you have any more questions concerning that, I would love to be able to speak to you and to study more about it with you. But I do want to offer at this time an invitation for you to respond to. If you're in need of prayers, we would love to pray with you. Maybe you're in need of some encouragement. We would love to do that. Maybe you are wanting to be more bold in reaching out to people. We would love to pray with you about that as well. Or maybe you're here tonight and you are ready to respond to the gospel message about the death, burial, and resurrection to Jesus. You understand and believe that he is the Son of God, and you're ready to repent of the lifestyle you've been living and start living for him. You're ready to confess him as your king and be baptized and have your sins washed away. If tonight is the night you would like to do that, we would love for it to be. We just ask that if you have a need, you come.